Wiggily Superstar. Do you think you're what they say you are? Wiggily Superstar. Do you think you're what they say you are?
It's showtime with Ricky Lee. Thank you for joining me here on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio, with streaming and podcasts available at huntleyradio.com. Today we're going to be continuing with our Grow with a Pro series, wherein we profile different careers in the entertainment industry. Joining me today is Debbie Katz-Knowles, a talented performer making a living as a freelance musician. Welcome to the show, Debbie.
Hi, thank you for inviting me.
So, to get started, I understand that you come from a musical family. Can you tell us how that prepared you for your own career in music?
Well, yes. Both my parents were classical musicians. My mother sang and played the piano. My father was one of those child prodigy violinists who played with the Chicago Symphony when he was like 10. And by the time he graduated from high school, he left Chicago area and went to New York to study with, at the time, a famous teacher, and played with orchestras, toured the world as a violin soloist. So then they met and got married and came back to the Chicago area and went into other things. But they always had music around the house. My brother and I knew we were going to play instruments, and it was just a very musical atmosphere to grow up in.
Now, you play a variety of instruments. Can you tell us what instruments you play?
Well, percussion and drums are my main instruments. So that means xylophone and timpani and gongs and all that, those kind of like orchestral percussion instruments, the snare drum. I do have a bachelor's degree in music ed from Northwestern, and a master's degree in percussion, also from Northwestern. So I'm classically trained, play all those orchestra instruments. I have a big room that's looks like a music store with a lot of percussion, and I've played symphony orchestras and things like that. But along the way, getting a music ed degree, I fell in love with other instruments, especially the saxophone. And so the baritone saxophone is a large one. Not that many people want to play it. At Northwestern, I kind of got roped into playing that in a jazz band, but I fell in love with it. So I play in three different jazz bands. I play baritone sax. And then the other woodwind instruments that go along with that, that sometimes you have music for, the flute, the piccolo, the clarinet, and the bass clarinet. And when you're a percussionist, you don't have a set embouchure. Embouchure is your lips, what they do. So you can play a lot of different instruments if you want to. So that's what I do. And I've had a lot of great opportunities. I don't make any money playing the woodwinds. The money that I make as a career is all from percussion and drums.
Very interesting. What was it like studying at Northwestern?
Well, I loved it. It was high power. I went to a summer program there in high school and fell in love with it. So it's a pretty classically oriented place. Maybe not so much now, but in the whenever. we won't talk about that. But anyway, now I think there's more maybe jazz and commercial, like degrees. There weren't any degrees. There was a jazz band. I loved playing drums in jazz. I also, during that time and a little after, played in wedding bands a lot, so played rock and roll and all that. Those have pretty much fallen by the wayside because of DJs and synthesizers, and it's coming back some, but, Northwestern was a cool place to get a variety of different type of music to play in.
Okay. Now, at what point did you know that you wanted to be a professional musician as a career?
Probably when I was about 10 years old. I just loved music and doing it, and that's just all I wanted to do.
And do you have a favorite instrument of all the instruments you play?
That's a really hard question. That's like saying, which do you like better, chocolate cake or pizza? I mean, they're very different.
Yeah.
I love playing drum set. And I think what I love the most is jazz. So either playing with a jazz band or I've played a lot of music theater shows. Playing the really jazzy shows like Hello Dolly, Anything Goes,
Cabaret.
Yes. Oh, I was on stage for that. One of the groups I've played with a lot is called Music Theater Works in Evanston. They used to be called Light Opera Works.
Okay.
And yes, we did Cabaret, I believe, about six or seven years ago. And I was actually in the little Cabaret Girls band. That was really fun. So I would say playing jazz drums is maybe a tiny bit more my favorite.
Now, you've had the opportunity to play behind a number of amazing musicians. Can you tell us about some of the headliners you've played with?
I was very lucky to come up at a time in the 70s and 80s and early 90s where there were house bands. I played behind entertainers like Sammy Davis Jr., Tony Bennett, Rosemary Clooney, Michael Feinstein. It was interesting, too. I played for Harry Connick Jr., who to this day I absolutely adore. But before anybody knew him, before the movie When Harry Met Sally, before any of that, and he was great then, he was a good jazz player, I played the very old-time acts like Liberace. I mean, young people aren't going to even know who I'm talking about. But
well, Steve, I know who you're talking about.
I know, I'm sure you do. Yes, thank you for for knowing those. Steve Lawrence and Edie Gourmet, those headliners that used to travel around and perform at theaters and use the house band, meaning an orchestra that we played there all the time, and we backed up whatever musicians were coming through that week. That was a glorious time playing so many different acts. I did also travel with Paul Anka,
oh, wow,
the singer, and that was very exciting because he was probably more popular at the time in Europe, in other places. He was popular here, but we went to the Philippines, and the audiences were screaming like it was the Beatles. And this was the 1980s. So I was very lucky and very blessed to be in the right place at the right time to do some very, very fun and exciting concerts with those kind of acts way back.
Now, do you have any interesting backstage stories from playing with such big-name headliners?
Oh, I have lots of them. A funny one that I can tell is at the Star Theater in Merrillville. It just got torn down a couple years ago, but that was a place that I played in quite often for many, many years. We played, it was Bill Cosby, who was the opening, and then Sammy Davis Jr. And Sammy Davis Jr. had really good musicians with him. He was the real old-timey song and dance. He was fabulous. So the last day of the show, which was a Sunday, Bill Cosby had some, apparently his contract actually had some of the wrong times in it. So he had done like half an hour or 40 minutes, and at the very beginning, the first half of the show, we had played him on. Sammy Davis came out and said hi. Then the curtains closed, and Bill Cosby did his comedy routine for like 40 minutes. So we all, after the curtains closed and Bill Cosby was going, we all went backstage. We were upstairs. People were in the lobby having popcorn and, you know, probably not on our phones then, but, you know, relaxing. And Bill Cosby somehow only did 20 minutes. So after 20 minutes, he says, well, goodbye, thank you very much, everybody. And so the curtain was supposed to open when he was done. We were supposed to play him off. So the stage manager gets on the intercom. Band of the stage, hurry up. So people were running, like, through the lobby and running all over. And the people, his musicians that traveled with him, were not there. They were up in their rooms. They were who knows where. So the conductor looks at me. I'm in the back playing the timpani and the xylophone and the percussion instruments. He looks at me and points to the drums and is like, get on the drums. So I jump up, run to the drum set, sit down, and then we play the playoff, which I had never played this guy's drums or the song. It wasn't hard, but it was fun. And then the curtains closed, and people were still running back. So it was about half the band doing the playoffs. So that was kind of a funny circumstance where I got to play drums all of a sudden.
You're listening to It's Showtime with Ricky Lee on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio, with streaming and podcasts available at huntleyradio.com. Today, we're speaking with Debbie Katz-Knowles, who is sharing her experiences as a professional freelance musician. Now, Debbie, you, in addition to playing for headliners like Harry Connick Jr. and Tony Bennett, you've also played a number of musical theater venues. How is that different?
Well, those are book shows where it's all written in the plot. I mean, we know all those. And my, like I said, my favorites are the jazzy ones. You know, like Hello, Dolly is one of my big favorites. I played a production of Hello, Dolly about 3 or 4 years ago with a group in Palatine called Music on Stage.
Oh, I know Frank very well.
Frank Roberts. Yes. Oh, my gosh. Great guy. This was one of the best performances of anything I've ever done in my life. The characters, every character was fantastic. The costumes were just like show-stopping. That was one of the best experiences I ever had. So it's different because you're playing the same thing every time. Like when there's people dancing and everything, you want to play the same, like the drums. You want to play the same thing so the dancers, you know, you don't throw a crash or some bang out something different than they're used to. But funny things do happen sometimes, and things fall down. There's been a few funny situations. The lights go out. Oh, my gosh. Do I have a moment for another funny
story?
Of
course, yes. Please share.
Music Theater Works in Evanston, which used to be called Light Opera Works. I played in that for almost 30 years. If it hadn't been for the pandemic this year, I would have probably made 30. But we were playing a small cabaret type of show with five singers and dancers years ago in a YMCA childcare space in Evanston. Had a cute little stage. It had originally been a school, so it had a cute little stage. So we just start the second half. It was, I think, a Saturday night. You know, so this is maybe 9 o'clock at night, halfway through. And, you know, in the middle of a song, the lights get dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. And all of a sudden, the entire place is just pitch dark. Pitch dark. So the piano, I was playing drum set, the piano player keeps playing and finishes the song. And then we all stop. And one of the people in charge of the show stands up and says, okay, audience, we're going to see what's going on. Everybody sit tight. So a few flashlights show up, and it turned out to be a power failure in Evanston.
Oh, wow.
So no lights. So we found about 10 flashlights, and we finished the show. And I had a guy sitting behind me in a chair shining a flashlight on my music.
Oh, wow.
And so the five singer dancers, they decided they were going to sit down on the front of the stage, and they said, you know, we're not going to dance because we really can't see each other very well. We're going to bump, but we're going to sing the rest of the songs. So that there was piano, bass, and drums. We each had a person with a flashlight shining on our music, and then the five singers had, you know, flashlights, you know, on their face. They were having a good time just sitting there, and we finished the show. And then the addendum to that is, the fire department, when they found out later, were really mad, and they said we should have everyone exited very carefully, because if there had been any kind of an emergency, trying to get people out in the pitch dark would have been terrible. So, but we finished the show.
The show must go on, right?
Yep.
Now, from what I understand, your original dream was to write and arrange music and be a band director, and you accomplished that goal at Lake Forest College. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, when I got a music ed degree at Northwestern, originally, when I was in high school, I was playing percussion at New Trier. I went to New Trier, which, again, is a wonderful place, high-power music, jazz bands, orchestras. I was in everything. And I just was learning how to write music and buying instruments like a saxophone and for myself and learning how to play it. I thought, you know, I'll be a band director, I'll write music, that'll be really fun. And I got to Northwestern, and I was more encouraged to become a player. So by the time I was done at Northwestern, I decided I was more interested in playing music than being a band director. Being a band director, which is a wonderful thing to do, takes up a lot of time. I was also not very good with discipline. And maybe starting as a junior high band director or something, that really didn't appeal to me because I wasn't good with discipline. So I decided to go more toward playing. Wonderful opportunities presented themselves. And I was teaching percussion at Lake Forest College, which back in the day, about 25-ish years ago, had a teeny tiny music department. Now it's grown a lot. Now there's a music ed degree. It's grown a lot. But so when it was about halfway into their growing process in the early 2000s, a concert band was started there, and I helped out playing different instruments, and then the person left for other opportunities, and I kind of inherited the band. So that was the early 2000s. I became a band director for the first time, and it was really fun. It was a very small group, and until they started the music ed degree, which also meant bringing in more full-time teachers who then conducted the band instead of me. Mm-hmm. But anyway, it's grown to a very great, nice program now. But I kind of got it started and into the middle so it could turn into what it is now.
Very interesting. Very good. Now, you play a lot of instruments. So when you write music, what instruments do you tend to write with?
Well, that's a great question. I think of the piano. My very, very, very first instrument at six was piano. Now, my parents, for some reason, I took in the prep department at Northwestern, but I don't remember very well, except that the piano teacher I had was a man who was about 112 years old, a quite elderly man, who was not very interesting to a six-year-old. So I lasted about a year and a half. I lasted about a year and a half there and never took any other percussion lessons, piano lessons. And I've always wished I could play piano better. I play some jazz, and I play with my percussion students. But I kind of wish I had stuck with the piano more. But if I do compose, I either think of the piano or I even actually sit at the piano.
Now, you currently play with three bands, the Jazz Consortium, the Vern Spevak Band?
Vern Spevak.
Spevak. Mm-hmm. And the British Buddy Alumni Band.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about the first one, the Jazz Consortium?
Oh, I would love to. The Jazz Consortium is a big band. And when I say the term big band, those are the kind of like Woody Herman style, Duke Ellington style bands that are five saxes, four trombones, four trumpets, piano, bass, drums, sometimes guitar, playing that kind of jazz. Now, there's more modern kinds, but the Jazz Consortium plays a variety of music from, like, Duke Ellington and Count Basie all the way through, you know, now, where there's kind of jazz rock. Maynard Ferguson Band, the Buddy Rich Band in the 70s and 80s did kind of rock versions of things. So that's a group that plays a big variety. Shout out to Roy Vombrek, a dear friend for most about my whole life, who is the founder and the director of that. And that's the group that started playing in the 1970s. And my brother, who went to Northern, I have a brother, he's younger than I am, he's a fabulous jazz trumpet player, plays in that group, and I kind of ride on his coattails when I can and get things. But that's a very diverse group, meaning they play music from like the 1920s and 30s up through today. When things get back going, we had been playing one Sunday a month at Dirty Nelly's in Palatine, which is a very fun place to play.
Awesome. And then Vern, help me again with the name, Vern?
Spevak.
Spevak. What do you play with the Vern Spevak Band?
And all three of these bands, I play baritone sax, not percussion.
Okay.
Because two of the bands are run by drummers. So, the Vern Spevak Big Band, shout out to Vern Spevak, who's the leader of that. He's a fantastic drummer. a college friend of my brother's. My brother is one of the featured players in that. Vern is a fabulous drummer. That band pretty much specializes in very contemporary jazz band music, a little more maybe rock-oriented. We've got arrangements of kind of rock tunes. We've got a Snarky Puppy tune. We've got things from the Gordon Goodwin Fat Band, P-H-A-T band. That plays a little bit more of the modern stuff and really not so much of the old stuff. Vern Svevec has a percussion studio, very gorgeous, huge, sort of warehouse-sized place in Oswego where he's based. And we play shows at night there that are free to the public. He's got a very busy percussion studio, so all his students come and play. So that's an Oswego-based group.
And I understand you're working on a CD with this Svevec band?
Yes, and if it wasn't for the darned pandemic, it would have long been done by now. We recorded in groups, like the saxophones. We recorded our things together. The trumpets recorded together and put them all. So they were in the process of putting them all together and then laying down the solos. And then the pandemic just stopped everything. So it's probably three quarters done, and we're hoping that by the upcoming holidays it will be finished.
Nice. And then can you tell us a little bit about the British Buddy Alumni Band?
Okay, that's a wonderful band. That's my newest band. I've been a member of that for about a year and a half, and that's led by the drummer Bill Byam, who's an excellent, fabulous drummer and a very good leader. That group started a while ago, and John Burnett was a British guy who was here. He's a trumpet player, and he started that band, I think, ages ago. I'm not even sure how long ago. They do a little bit more of the traditional, the Count Basie, the Duke Ellington, those kind of tunes. They have singers that sing with them, and they play at Fitzgerald's. And we were playing one Sunday a month at Fitzgerald when this all happened, so I hope we go back to that. That group has a following. Well, and then John Burnett moved somewhere and retired, and so Bill Byam, the drummer, took the band over, and I believe John Burnett passed away maybe this year, in the last few months. But Bill Byam took it over, and that's a really fun band and very good soloist. My brother sometimes plays with them. That's, of course, how I was recommended. So I'm very lucky to have a really good sort of an agent built in to my brother to recommend me for things.
Now, you mentioned that you play with your brother in a couple bands. What is it like playing with your brother?
It's fabulous. His name is Dave Katz. Shout out to him. He's a fantastic trumpet player. Great guy. Five kids, grandkids, wonderful guy. And there's nothing that makes me prouder than playing in a group with him. We're a little bit different. He doesn't play other instruments. He's a jazz soloist. I mean, he was playing along with Maynard Ferguson records in those days when he was like 13 or 14. So he's a soloist, plays a few high notes, but he doesn't write music. He doesn't teach a lot, and he doesn't play other instruments very much. I always say, I got those genes. He got the fabulous jazz soloist genes, but I'm just so proud to hear him play and play things together with him.
And what would your advice be for someone who's thinking about pursuing a career as a professional musician?
That's a tough one. What worked for me was going to college, going to a good music school, and also settling down in the same area where I had already made some contacts, had some experiences where, when you move. Now, moving somewhere new is fine. If you're from, a small town or an area and you want, your sights are set on a high-powered place like L.A., or do it. Do it when you're young. Go. But for me, I started making contacts. Like I said, I played wedding bands even in college and on. So I had contacts already. And then network. Go to jam sessions, meet people. I'm not the person that, gets on the phone and calls people and sends out resumes. I'm not quite that forward about things. Some people are. Some people get things like that. I've been lucky to be networked and word of mouth, and like I said, my brother recommend. If you get people that recommend you, that's very helpful to make those kind of contacts.
Now, for networking, are you a naturally outgoing person, or do you have to force yourself to do the networking?
Well, I'm pretty, as you can tell from how much I'm blabbing, I'm a pretty outgoing person. But like I just said, calling people, like cold calling people, bragging, is a little hard for me. I would rather have people do it for me, like I said, about being recommended.
Like your brother.
Yes, exactly. That works for me, having other people network with me and for me. But I have nothing against people that do the calls and do, you know, Facebook and have websites and everything. I do Facebook, but I don't have a website. I don't really do a lot of self-promotion. Okay. Maybe I should.
You've been listening to It's Showtime with Ricky Lee on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio. Today we've been visiting with Debbie Katz-Knowles, a professional freelance musician. It's been a great show. I have learned a lot, as I'm sure our listeners have. Debbie, thank you so much for sharing your time and your stories with us. We wish you the best with your continued career in music. And for those looking to get a hold of Debbie, you can do a Facebook search for Debbie Katz-Knowles. Is that correct?
Yes, and Knowles is Knowles. And, you know, Facebook message me. I put some of my gigs on there. There's none happening now. But, you know, a lot of times you'll see where I'm playing. I'll put that on Facebook.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. It's been great talking to you.